मनोबुद्ध्यहङ्काररचितानि नाहि न च श्रोत्रदीपे न च घ्राणनेत्रे न च व्योमभूमि न तेजो न वायु चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न च प्राणसंज्ञो न वै पञ्चवायु न वा सप्तधातु न वा पञ्चकोशा न वा पाणिपादं न चोपस्थपायु चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न मे द्वेषरागौ लोभमोहौ मदो नैव मे नैव मात्सर्यभाव न धर्मो न चार्थो न कामो न मोक्ष चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न पुण्यं न पापं न सौख्यं न दुःखम् न मन्त्रो न तीर्थं न वेदा न यज्ञा अहं भोजनं नैव भोज्यं न भोक्ता चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूप शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं
Good evening and good afternoon, and for some of you, good morning. I'm so delighted to be with you. So delighted to be here with all of us on this first class in our second series on Freedom, Ecstasy, and Awakening, the Divine Teachings of the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra. We were just listening to a classical chant, and those of you who are familiar with this tradition, who are Sanskritists or people who have followed an Indian tradition or studied Vedanta, will know this very, very famous chant, which we played four verses of. It's called Niranashtakam. And the words, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. The words tell us, I am neither the conscious nor the unconscious mind, neither intelligence nor ego, neither the ears nor the tongue nor the senses of smell and sight, neither ether nor air nor fire nor water nor earth. I am consciousness and bliss. I am Shiva. I am Shiva. And it goes on, in the way of classical Vedanta, the non-dual tradition of Shankara, which is also one of the traditions that is very close to some contemporary Buddhist traditions, to say, I'm neither death nor doubt, I'm not virtue or vice, I'm not pleasure or pain, I'm neither aversion nor attachment, neither righteousness nor wealth nor pleasure, I'm without thought, I'm without form, I'm all-pervasive, I'm everywhere, yet I'm beyond the senses. I am consciousness and bliss. I am Shiva. I am Shiva, I am Shiva. And it's this awareness that we're going to begin to touch in this class at the same time, and this is very important and significant. We're also going to recognize that this consciousness, which is without form, which is beyond all things, is also within all things, has become all things, and exists as all that is and every part of ourselves in the form of Shakti. Because this great text, the Vijnana Bhairava, is actually a text which is at the heart of the recognition of that school of Tantra, which is actually being very much revived in our modern day, that school of Tantra which worships Shakti, the energy that we call the Divine Feminine, as she appears in our bodies, in our breath, in the physical world, in the subtle world, and in the mind. And what the Vijnana Bhairava tells us, among its many other delicious pieces of wisdom, is that, in fact, that energy, that Shakti, which is constantly in the process of becoming you and me and everything that is actually not different than that formless, non-dual awareness that's beyond mind, senses, body, breath. So living in this paradox, that we are consciousness and bliss, not this, not that, and that we are consciousness and bliss, all this, all that, is where we're going as we enter into the wisdom of the Vijnana Bhairava. So let's begin by acknowledging in the deepest way possible, without cynicism, without embarrassment, to recognize us all as the expression of Supreme Shakti, the self of the universe, welcoming the sacredness in each of us. We acknowledge our humanness, our eccentricities, our unique destinies, our particular bodies, our histories, our skills, our secret feelings, the way our breath flows in and out of our bodies. We acknowledge all this as expressions of Supreme Shakti, and expressions of the Supreme Self. And in that realization, in that recognition, we're going to begin our practice, first of all, with a chant and an offering. Then I'll explain a little bit about what we're doing. And we'll meditate, and meditate again in many different ways, and through many different aspects of our, let's say, our granular existence as individual beings who are also not different from the One. My guru, Swami Muktananda, who was the first person to introduce me to this text, the Vijnana Bhairava, did a brief commentary on some of the verses, and this is his invocation. It's actually a rendering of two of the verses in the Vijnana Bhairava, verses 18 and 19, which you all can find on the transliterations and translations that are available on the private class area of the website. But this is his translation, so it's not literal. The one who belongs to all, in water, the self of water, in earth, the self of the earth, in fire, the self of fire, in air, the self of air, in ether, the self of ether. That one is the conscious self in the heart. I offer the love of my soul to the self of the universe, the embodiment of auspiciousness. And as you can tell from this salutation, which expressed his very deep devotion to God in the form of Shiva or Bhairava, in this invocation you can see that this text, although it is a text of non-dual wisdom, approaches it through the medium of love and devotion, because the real secret core of Tantra is the recognition that reality is pure empty awareness, and yet it is infused with love and with an attitude of sacred worship. So part of what will happen to us, part of us what happens to us as we practice with a text like this, is that it actually teaches us to approach our lives, our bodies, our relationships with the attitude of recognizing its profound sacredness. Vijnana means wisdom, experiential wisdom, that is, the mystical knowledge that arises in us through direct intuitive realization, and that usually comes about through some form of initiation. And I want you to know that there is an initiatory energy that flows through these classes and that will allow all of us to begin to enter into whatever level of recognition of this truth is appropriate to us at any given moment. But every one of us will have that realization in one way or another during the course of this class. This text is a dialogue between Bhairava, which is, of course, one of the names of Shiva, and his beloved consort, Bhairavi, who is herself the source in us, who is the source of the rising Kundalini Shakti, which is, in fact, the energy within us which allows us to know this truth. Bhairava, in the yogic tradition, is one of the forms of Shiva who is particularly associated with the teacher, the guru, the force of transformative insight in the universe. And Bhairava is the form of the teacher whose energy is so fierce, so powerful, that he can awaken you even from the deepest, dullest sleep and dream of separation. And Bhairavi is his feminine form. Not different from Bhairava, as we saw in the last class, and as the text says again and again. Just as fire and its burning power are not different, Shiva and Shakti, Bhairavi and Bhairava, are not different. They are simply two aspects of the same divine power. In this text, of course, as happens in life, these two inseparable lovers, or let's say these two inseparable aspects of reality, have separated themselves and become lovers. So the primordial embrace of consciousness and bliss, which is a secret name of reality in the Sanskrit-based traditions, that primordial embrace of consciousness and bliss, which are never separate from each other, separate at a slightly less transcendent level of consciousness to become the divine pair of lovers, Shiva and Shakti, Bhairava and Bhairavi, for the sake of relationship, for the sake of enacting love in an erotic fashion, and also as in a dialogue that in the tradition of Shaivism becomes the basis of the texts that show us the way to the truth. So Bhairava, as we've said, is a particularly fierce form of the divine. There are many forms of divine personality in the Indian tradition. Some of them are very peaceful. We could call them the sweet forms of reality, the aspects of reality that manifest as a beautiful summer day or a sweet breeze or as a feeling of pleasure, as the taste of chocolate, and all of these aspects of reality are also doorways into the divine, as the text will tell us. And there are also forms that manifest, to use a Tibetan Buddhist concept, as wrathful. And one of the truths that the Tibetan tradition tells us is that, paradoxically, the peaceful forms of the divine, those which appear peaceful on the outside, often have a wrathful inner aspect, which means that they're quite strict. They demand good behavior from us, so to speak. Whereas the wrathful forms of the divine, the ones who look scary on the outside, are actually peaceful on the inside, which means that their inner aspect is a quality of grace and forgiveness, which, rather than demanding strict behavior from us, actually begins to connect us to the heart in such a way that we simply learn how to recognize the innate goodness, the innate beauty in ourselves and everyone, and then we live in this state of love in a natural way. So Bhairava, as a wrathful deity, and Bhairavi as the form of Shakti who awakens, who literally breaks through our bonds, they often appear in our external life in the form of events that shake us up. So one of the ways that we can recognize the presence of this awakening energy is in events, and those of you who've lived in this world long enough will recognize them. I know that many people I know had their first recognition of their priorities in life because they lost someone they loved, or because they got sick, or they failed at something that was important to them, and it gave them the impetus to look beneath the surface. This isn't true for everybody. You know, there are many of us whose entrance into the yogic path happens in a sort of a much more flowing way. But I don't think any of us who's lived in the world for a while has not had the experience of certain events that seem really difficult, seem to shake us up, but which actually open the door to a deeper experience of consciousness, of grace, of love, even if sometimes it takes some effort to get there. So this is one of the qualities that is characteristic of the awakening force of Bhairava Bhairavi. The name and the etymology of the word Bhairava, there are several different interpretations of it. The first syllable, Bha, stands for fear, but it also stands for radiant light. And Ra stands for sound, meaning the sacred mantra, the all-pervading sound of the awakening mantra, which we could say is Om. And Va means all-pervasiveness. So one interpretation of Bhairava's name is he who, through fear, shows you your all-pervasive nature. This is actually what one of the verses, verse 130 in the text. This is how this text defines Bhairava. And it also says that one who utters this word Bhairava over and over again becomes Bhairava. So the word Bhairava is a sacred mantra. It's an awakening mantra in and of itself. However, Abhinavagupta, who was one of those quintessential sages who is the source of entire traditions, in this case, some of the core traditions of North Indian Tantra, says in his very beautiful and important text, Tantra Loka, he defines Bhairava like this: he who carries the whole universe, who nourishes and supports it, and who is carried by it, and that he relates to the syllable Bha, he is the sound, Rava, who by his power of awareness protects those who are frightened by the world of transmigration. In other words, Bhairava is that one who holds everything and who awakens us out of fear. this is something that I have begun to understand in a different way since the last class I taught, which some of you took, on emotions. One of the insights that came out of that class is the recognition that fear is not what we normally think of fear as. It's, in other words, it's not that paralyzing force that kind of freezes our blood and makes us shiver. Fear in its natural form is intuitive alertness. It's that awareness that actually allows us to instinctively move through life with skill because we understand what's coming. Our intuition shows us what's coming. So we could say that Bhairava is that intuitive awareness that naturally allows us to flow on what I call the razor's edge of grace. That is the cutting edge of reality, and I think most of you know that experience, where you're moving instinctively and not really thinking about what you're doing, but you're going in precisely the right direction because there's a force within you that's keeping you on track. So that's Bhairava, that's Bhairavi. And ultimately, he is that force which lets us discern the truth of our divine nature. The Vijnana Bhairava means to kindle our capacity for that intuitive capacity for realizing how the truth shows up within our bodies and within the universe itself. It's the quality that allows us to stand in our divine ground, which is hidden in plain sight, inside the breath, inside the mind, inside the movement of the wind in the trees, inside your feelings of affection, inside the stars in the sky. We feel it, we sense it. Sometimes it shows itself to us. But because it's hidden, even when we know it's there, we need to have it pointed out to us. And that's what we'll be doing. So let's begin by chanting the verses that invoke Shiva as the one who is pure being, pure consciousness, and pure bliss. And as we have done in my classes for a long time, we're going to chant this sound to this song to the accompaniment of Krishna Das. And as I sometimes ask you to do, I'd like you to approach it in a very immediate way, in a state of beginner's mind, to recognize that this very ancient yogic chant, which has been around for thousands of years, which actually points to Shiva as your inmost self, your own experience of pure being, of pure awareness, and of pure blissfulness, your own peaceful inner light, the Ba in Bhairava. And as we chant, you can find yourself a comfortable upright posture. Place your awareness behind the sternum, behind the breastbone, inside the heart. And allow the words, whether you simply listen to them or chant them, to begin to evoke for you the experience of that one who is the self of all.
Shantaya, you're all on my dear self.
Nityanandamurtaya Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tese.
Through the power of our practice, all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask to experience true equanimity, even in the midst of negative feelings such as dislike or grasping or dullness. And we ask to know the equality of all that is. So your eyes are closed. And you're going to take a moment now to refresh your posture, making sure that you're sitting on your sits bones, on those two protruding bones that are the first thing to hit the seat, at least for a very skinny person like myself. And it's very important in this practice that you actually let yourself feel how it feels to be sitting on your sits bones rather than too far forward or too far back. Because part of what we're about here is actually beginning to open ourselves to the ever-present experience of what's sometimes called the Madhya Dasha or the Madhya Nadi, the core of our being, that central channel of awareness that runs from the perineum, sometimes called the Kunda. There at the base of your body between the anus and the sexual organ. This channel, this very slender channel, runs like a kind of a pole of energy from the perineum up through the very center of your body, just in front of the spinal column, up through the neck, through the center of the head, up through the Brahmarandhra, the fontanelle at the back of the skull. And in order to begin to sense it, we sit with the body relaxed but erect, the arms are relaxed with the hands just at the top of the thighs, whether you have them on your face down, palms down on your thighs, or folded in your lap. Your shoulder blades melt down your back so that the chest can lift just a little bit with no strain. You feel that the crown of your head is being lifted upward as if it were being held by a cord or a string from the ceiling. your chin is just slightly dropped, which elongates the back of your neck. And this actually allows you to sense the thread of the Madhyanadi, of this central core running through the very center of your body, just in front of the spinal cord. And without necessarily trying to visualize it, just let yourself, place yourself in this position where you can be aware of the presence of this inner core, this central channel, which is really the shakti, the energy that's flowing as our life. And just for this moment, allow your eyes, although closed, to soften and look inward, as though you're looking into the central channel. And notice as you do this that your posture will naturally adjust itself a little bit. The back will flatten slightly. The hips will roll forward slightly. Just let this happen. Don't try to make it happen. That is, as you sit in a posture inviting the central channel to come forward, to come to reveal itself, the posture of the body will naturally adjust itself slightly. One of the core teachings of Tantra is that when we're seated in the correct posture, and here we're talking about the inner posture, meditation begins to happen spontaneously through the work of the Shakti, through the practice of the Shakti. So just let yourself sit in this way. And I'm going to give you some very fundamental pointing out instructions as we practice our first meditation of the evening. Your eyes are closed. And in a very gentle way, without forcing, feel that you're looking inside. Your eyes are focused towards the central channel. And notice if there's any strain in your eyes, and if there is, relax them. But imagine now that you're seeing into the inner fabric of your consciousness. And I mean this in an extremely simple way. When you close your eyes, if you're not trying to visualize anything or if you're not lost in thoughts, you can become aware that there is a kind of screen of energy, a kind of vibrating energetic field. Maybe you may be experiencing it as just the inside of your head, or it may be wider. It doesn't really matter. But I want to ask you just to notice that there is this kind of vibrating energy, this vibrant moving energy inside your consciousness field, inside your, let's call it your awareness or your mind. In Sanskrit, the word is chitta. And the word chitta in Sanskrit has the same root as the word chit, which means supreme consciousness, and it actually points to the fact that our mind is a contracted form of the creative consciousness of the universe. So without trying to think too much about that, just look into whatever appears before your closed eyes. I'm going to tell you what I experience. I'm not a great visual person, so when I close my eyes and just focus on what's there, I have a fairly, I would say, ordinary experience. What I, quote, see with my closed eyes is a kind of field of pulsing dots of light. They're very fine. For me at this moment, they're partly gray, partly kind of white light. I'm in a lit room at the moment, so it's sometimes different if it's dark in the room. And we might say that what you're seeing with your eyes closed is the kind of the expression of the neurons firing in your brain, but you don't have to identify it right now. You can just see what's arising. Maybe they're images and probably thoughts. So let go of trying to understand what I'm saying and just allow yourself to look at this field of darting energy, light, pulsation, movement that appears when you close your eyes. Again, thoughts will arise for sure. No problem. But just see that there's movement here. There's dynamism here. There's fundamental energy here. So whatever is arising inside your field is actually energy. Maybe a thought or an image pops up. And just notice, recognize that whatever is there in your mind, whether it's a thought or an image or just these darting lights or, you know, some floaters, whatever they are, they're actually being experienced inside the mind, and they're made out of the same stuff. They're made out of mind energy. So just let yourself sit with that activity inside the field, the pulsing feeling, the pulsing experience inside your mind, and recognize that it is actually, there are actually these pulsing atoms of consciousness that are dancing inside your mind. So what we would call this in Shaivism, in the Vijnana Bhairava, is the field of Shakti, of dynamic universal energy manifesting as mind stuff. Just as it manifests as neurons, as bones, as molecules, but right now it's manifesting in a pretty subtle form as your mind stuff. Just let yourself be present with that. Also noticing whatever is going on in your body if your attention goes there. But your intention really is to notice the pulsating field of your own mind, something that we don't normally look into. Now introduce this word into your mind field. The word is swaha. And this is a Sanskrit word, which a Sanskrit mantra actually, which means I offer. I give myself. It's spelled S-W, long A-H, long A, swaha. 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 It's the sacred sound that's often used to accompany offerings. So it's actually a sound that signifies that you're letting go of something of yourself and offering it into the heart of reality. Swaha is a mantra that's filled with the resonance given to it by millions of meditators who've offered into themselves every possible form of worship and inquiry. So feel that with this word swaha for just a moment, you offer thoughts, ideas, your concepts about yourself, your energy, into the ground of being that is forming itself into your mind. Now, as you think the word swaha, focus your attention
on the place in the mind where the sound of ha comes to an end. It actually dies down into the mental field itself. Swaha. There. Find that place. Swaha. And focus there. And see how long you can stay in that place at the end of swaha. If thoughts arise or images arise, bring the word back. And focus again at the end of the syllable ha. This is a mantra practice, but we're not so much practicing with the mantra itself as with the place in consciousness where it subsides. Thoughts arise. Just remember, they're made out of mind stuff. Swaha arises out of that same mind stuff, and it subsides back into it. Swaha. Swaha, and your awareness at the place where the sound ha subsides. There in the field of consciousness, your inner space, swaha arises out of the vibrating energy in that field, subsides back into it. And in that space at the end of ha, recognize Shakti. Just have this awareness of the truth that at the root of this sacred word, in the place where it subsides into the field of consciousness, right there is a doorway into the sacred space where consciousness can expand. Just let yourself be present in that space. Swaha. That moment, that second of stillness at the end of swaha. Remember, the thoughts too are made of that same Shakti manifesting as thoughts, and behind those thoughts is the stuff of the mind, which is the same primordial creative Shakti that manifests universes. They are present as the ground of being of your own mind field. Swaha. Thank you.
And you're welcome to stay with your eyes closed and the thought swaha, which, as many of you know, is actually a wonderful mantra to use for just letting go of stuff. But the purpose here of this practice, of this particular pointing out instruction, was to allow you to begin to become familiar with this particular form of what, in our last class, and I'm going to define it again for you, we call the Madhya Dasha. Madhya meaning middle or center, Dasha meaning space. The space in the mind that can open up at the beginning and end of a thought, especially a mantric thought, that ends with the syllable ha. That when we tune into the still point at the beginning and end of any activity of the breath, as we looked into very assiduously in our last class, at the beginning and end of a thought, at the beginning and end of any activity, when we focus on that still space, we actually are standing at the doorway of this sacred awareness at the heart of reality that the Vijnana Bhairava is constantly pointing us to. So this is a text that asks us to recognize how inside so many of our activities, when we come to the heart of them, we can begin to recognize the state of pure consciousness that it is, that is our fundamental ground, our fundamental self. It is, in fact, Shakti, the subtle cosmic energy that pulsates through every form of physical and mental reality. So, as you will remember if you read the introductory transcript that we provided for those of you who were not present for the last class, or if you were present for the last class, what you'll remember is that is what's happening here is that Bhairava and Bhairavi, Shiva and Shakti, are engaged in a sacred dialogue, and that sacred dialogue is going to turn out to be the basis, the foundational teaching for an enormously significant school of Tantra. And it begins, as so many great teachings in this tradition begin, with a question. The question that Bhairavi, the lover and beloved and sacred self of the absolute reality, the Shakti at the heart of everything, she asks what happens to be the right question. You know, all teachings really come about in response to a sincere question. And for us as practitioners, it's also a very beautiful clue, because if you ask a question of your own consciousness, if you really seriously ask a question that you really want to know the answer to, and ask it of your own awareness in a meditative moment, you're going to get an answer, and the answer will be a true answer. But of course, the answer you get will depend on the question. If the question is, how can I get ahead at my law firm, or is this guy Randy the right guy for me, then the answer you get will be specific to that question. It will come from your intuitive awareness, but it'll be a question that takes you as far into the heart of reality, an answer that takes you as far into the heart of reality as the nature of the question. So this text comes out of an auspicious moment and an auspicious question. And this week, I'm actually going to ask you to find out what your auspicious question for this moment in your life happens to be, meaning what is the question that you have to ask yourself that cuts to the heart of your purpose in life right now.
that'll come in your homework. So this auspicious question is asked, and Bhairava recognizes it as an auspicious question, and he also points out to the goddess that this is really a profoundly auspicious and present moment in which the truth can be revealed. And I want to point to this because it's one of the very crucial pieces of imbibing this teaching, is actually to recognize a couple of things. First of all, that the nature of our longing is what brings forth both teachings and realizations for us. And secondly, that for each one of us, this is a precious moment. In Buddhism, it's called, we are living in what's called a precious human birth. And a precious human birth is not just any human birth, as I think we all recognize with enormous sadness as we look at the lives that so many people lead in this world. So to have a precious human birth means to have a birth in which the conditions for hearing and imbibing the teachings, these sacred teachings, is actually available to us. In other words, we have enough material advantages so that we're not having to spend every moment of our lives. I know a lot of us spend a lot of moments in our lives making a living, but much less so than people did in other times and in other places. More than that, we have the longing to know the purpose of life in a deeper way. And thirdly, we have the availability of the teachings in a way that's never before been true. So, and not only do we are the teachings available, but what's also available is, let's say, that the wisdom that can crack the code that keeps them secret. Because these teachings, although they can seem very obvious, are actually written in a kind of code. And many of them actually need explanations to make sense. But the second point about them, and again, this is something that I have to remind myself of again and again and again to understand the enormous privilege that we've been given in this time and in this life, which is that the way these teachings come down to us, the way they were given to me through my lineage master, and the way they are being given to you through these lineage masters who make them available, actually allows us to crack the hidden code that makes the physical world so opaque. So these teachings contain what's called the guhya, the secret that the physical world conceals. And of course, you know, in contemporary times, we have a lot of understanding that the ancients didn't have about the fact that the physical world is not solid. We know this through physics. We know through neuroscience that our psychological reality, our mental reality, is not fixed either, that we actually have enormous possibilities available to the mind that people in other times really didn't understand. And yet, the capacity to recognize these truths in an experiential way has to be given in the way that it always has been given, through a kind of transmission from the teacher. And by the teacher, I mean Bhairava himself. I mean the one who speaks these words. A text like this claims to come as a direct transmission from God, like the sacred texts of many traditions. And the way I've always interpreted this is that the way these texts arise is as inner experience in the meditation of realized beings who actually get them as a download. They come as a kind of download in meditation, as a truth in meditation. And I know that many of you have had this experience of a realization arising in a deep meditative state that comes to us from the heart of the universe. So we could say, and we would not be speaking untruth, we could say that this realization is from God, is from the heart of the universe, is it comes from the depths of the truth. It doesn't come because somebody told it to us. It comes as a realization. And truths like this, recognitions like this, and we all know some of them, they form the basis of the direct experience traditions. And the thing that makes them potent is that they are repeatable. In other words, these techniques that we're working with are not just something that, you know, somebody thought up and that it was true 1,500 years ago when the text first emerged. They're repeatable. People have practiced these techniques, and they've experienced the truth of them. They've experienced them working. So the text itself, the teaching itself, when it's given in a particular context, it has the capacity to kindle the experience in you. And the context that we're in now, the context of Sangam, the context of our focused concentration on these truths, is fantastically fruitful for recognizing or realizing these truths. So Vijnana Bhairava is about recognizing the hidden divinity, the concealed divinity, in what is often called the center, the madhya, the space between one thing and the space between one thing and another. I'll say that again. The space between one thing and another. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine called me to tell me that he'd had a dream. And in the dream, he'd woken from the dream with these words, which spoke his name, and said, I'm just going to call him Paul Williams. He said, it said, you are not Paul nor Williams either. What you really are is the goddess's fire. And he said that when he heard this, he woke up and he began to think, so what does that mean? What is that saying? And he realized that what he was being told from his unconscious is that his real self is the flaming urgency of the goddess's creative intention, the burning desire, the longing inside Shakti to exist, to know, to experience, to create, to become. So he said, what I realized is that what we are is embodied aspects of the Shakti's urgency to become. The life energy that acts through us is the Shakti's urgency to become. And yet at the same time, in the midst of that becoming, there is pure being. There's the timeless, formless Shivaness, the Bhairavaness of pure being. And we actually live in the dance between being and becoming. And if you remember these verses, when Bhairavi asks her question, tell me how I can know you. Tell me how I can understand you. Tell me how I can find you at the heart of reality. He says to her, as pure being, I am without form. I have no place. I am actually unknowable because I am the knower. So the only way to know me, the way to know me is through Shakti. The way to know being is through becoming. The knower, the deep stillness at the heart of the universe, as teachers of many traditions have said, is not knowable by the human mind. But as Shiva says, as Bhairava says, Shakti is the doorway into Shiva. So by following the path of Shakti, you can not just know the truth, you can become the truth, you can be catapulted into the truth. For this to be true for us, to be real for us, we actually need a correct teaching, which points it out. Secondly, we need a practice. Thirdly, we need motivation. We need a motivation that, if not as strong as Bhairavi's, it's strong enough so that you'll actually make this recognition a priority in your life, so that you do the practice with an interest in finding out what the truth about yourself is. And finally, we need support. We need grace, the support that we receive through Sangam, through Satsang. And when we have all these,
then we are actually able to understand our experience for what it is. What we're going to do in the next few minutes is take another trip into this central space, the Madhya Dasha, this place where becoming merges into being, where the movement of breath or thought or the movement of energy in the body can begin to come to a still point and show us what it really is. We're going to be practicing now what will be the fundamental foundational meditation practice for us during the week to come. We're going to be practicing being present in the central channel, the Sushumna Nadi, which is utterly and completely core to the teaching of Vijnana Bhairava. The more we can learn how to be present inside the central channel, the more we can allow the breath to flow into the central channel, the more we'll experience this sense of our exteriorized vision naturally turning inside. The experience of being emerging out of becoming is sometimes described as having the background emerge into the foreground. And the actual, let's call it the secret in meditation of having this happen, one of the secrets of having this happen, is to be able to let your awareness enter into the interior, the core, the central channel. So we'll do it through awareness and through the breath, and you can refresh your posture. Again, you want to be sitting on your sitz bones. And you might want to rock back and forth a little bit on your sitz bones to find the balance point, and rock back and forth from side to side. See if you can find a balance point where you really are sitting very firmly in such a way that your spinal column can be straight. And that doesn't mean that you have to change your scoliosis if you happen to have scoliosis. What you simply want to create is a posture that will allow there to be a kind of plumb line that runs through the center of your body from the crown down to the perineum. So if your thighs are gripping, let them be soft. If your belly is tight, relax it. Allow the chest to gently lift and the shoulder blades to release down the back. Feel that the head is lifted up by a string at the crown so that the back of the neck elongates slightly and the chin drops. And we're going to take a couple of minutes to do a deep and kind of intense breath. We'll do 6 of these breaths. And the purpose of these breaths is both to ground us in the body and also to begin to bring the energy of within the body, the energy of Shakti, more alive, more present in our awareness. So this is a breath that many of you may be familiar with, but you'll begin, your eyes are closed. Notice your shoulders and allow them to relax. Softening your shoulders is very helpful and important in this practice. And take a full, deep inhalation, feeling that the breath is coming down to the root of the belly. And as you do this, let it just happen. And then exhale fully. And as you exhale, pull your lower belly in towards the spine, so that the belly actually pushes the air all the way out. You want as strong and as full as an exhale as possible. And inhale again down to the core of the belly. And pull your belly in with the exhalation, just letting yourself exhale as much old air as possible. And you're going to do this 6 times. Inhaling into the belly and exhaling, pulling the belly in towards the spine to expel the air.
can do it with a fairly forceful exhalation. Another couple of breaths. And now just sit for a moment and see if you can feel the flow of energy in your body. How does the energy feel in your belly, in your chest, in your arms and legs? Again, your eyes are closed. And you're looking with closed eyes and without strain. Your eyes are soft, but your gaze is directed inward as though you were looking into the central channel. This thread of energy that runs from the perineum up through the center of the head to the crown. It's in the center of your body in front of the spinal column towards the back. And with your eyes turning in, again, no strain, it's just a suggestion. Just ask your eyes, ask your gaze to softly turn towards the central channel as though you were looking down into the central channel. You don't want to do this with strain, you just want to make this suggestion to your inner gaze. Your tongue is floating in the center of your mouth, and your mouth is slightly open so that the chin can relax, the jaw can relax. And begin to feel that the breath is flowing in through the nostrils down into the central channel, flowing in and down towards the core of the belly. But here you're not trying to force the breath down. You're just allowing the downward flow of the breath with the inhalation and then the upward flow of the breath with the exhalation. And little by little, you begin to feel that your attention is turned within. The breath is flowing naturally. And your awareness draws the breath into the Madhya Nadi, the central channel, this thread of energy, this inner core, that flows between the perineum and the crown. With very great softness and subtle focus, allow the breath to flow in and down. And as the breath flows in, you can allow it to flow in with the thought, swa. And as the breath flows out, you can allow it to flow up with the thought, ha, swaha. So the inhalation is being offered into the central channel, which is really there. There really is an energetic corridor flowing through the center of your body. And as you inhale with the thought, swa, and exhale with the thought, ha, this mantra of offering is carrying the breath in and down, carrying the exhalation up through the central channel, arise, recognize that any thought that arises, any bodily sensation, any insight, any emotion, that all of these are made out of the same primordial Shakti manifesting as your body, as your breath, as your thoughts. And allow the breath to seduce your attention into the central channel, flowing in and down, exhaling up through the center, as you feel the breath flowing in with sa, in and down towards the base, up towards the crown, begin to consider now that the inhalation flows in and down into the heart behind the breastbone. And then it flows upward through the neck, through the center of the head, up through the crown of the head. So you begin to experience the inhalation now flowing in as if through the crown of the head with the sound swa down into the heart, and from the heart flowing with the sound ha up through the head and merging in the space above the crown. breath is flowing in the central channel, flowing down into the heart, behind the breastbone towards the back of the body, flowing in with the sound swa, flowing up from the heart, flowing through the head with the sound ha, merging in the space above the crown. And you can consider, again, in a very relaxed way, that Shakti, the primordial energy of the universe, is flowing as the breath through this pathway of the central channel, from the heart up to the crown. Flowing is the sound swaha, in which your breath is offering itself into the subtle spaciousness of the heart, of the central channel, and of the space above the crown. Just allowing that flowing movement of the breath and the sound swaha to open your awareness from the heart to the crown, through the vibrant central pathway in the center of the body. consider as the breath flows in the interior of the body, that this internal recognition, this offering of the breath to follow the inner path, is actually the practice of the secret worship of your own inner being through the breath. So it's as if your mind and senses are being offered with the mantra Swaha into your own interiority, allowing the possibility that your own inner Shakti can begin to unfold your own experience of pure openness, pure being. And as thoughts arise, as bodily sensations arise and subside, just recognize that they are also expressions of Shakti. And if there's tension or tightness in the body, notice that also, and recognize that every expression of feeling and sensation is an active expression of the same primordial Shakti who unfolds herself in the central channel. As you offer the breath down into the heart with Swa, up to merge into the space above the crown with Ha. See if as you open your eyes or not, you're completely welcome to stay in meditation. To see if you can keep some awareness of the breath moving through the central channel with Swaha. For some of you, this meditation may have taken on its own rhythm. So perhaps the breath is flowing in deeper, or perhaps it's flowing higher. And if anyone has a question or something you'd like to say at this juncture, you can press *7 and ask your question or say what you'd like to say. And in the meantime, as we sit together, just let the breath flow, it's really like a swing that flows up and down, down and up. And in this practice, I want to give you one of the tantric secrets of well-being. And it's this. I'm hearing somebody unmuting yourself, so if that's the case, please feel free to speak. But since I don't see your hand raised, I'm going to continue speaking. So one of the secrets of practicing with the breath in the Sushumna Nadi is to recognize that when we inhale with the sense that the breath flows down the channel and exhale with the sense that the breath flows up, this is not just a conventional directionality. When we breathe in the opposite direction, when we inhale up and exhale down, what we actually do is bring our awareness down. And when we exhale up, we literally uplift our awareness. So one of the secrets of staying in a state of buoyancy and well-being in your walking around day-to-day life is actually to come into this practice where you inhale down into the heart, or if your attention naturally wants to flow deeper, down into the belly, and exhale with the breath, the sense of the breath flowing up from the heart, flowing in an upward direction. And this is literally a practice of what one of my teacher friends calls the upward shift, that we allow the breath to bring our awareness into a more grounded, into our bodies in a grounded way. But as we exhale, we recognize that essentially we're beings who can fly. Our movement is literally upward, up to higher stages of states of consciousness. This isn't about spacing out. In other words, the downward flow is really important, grounding the flow. And if you're feeling spaced out, deepen the breath. But what you'll come to recognize is that when you fill your body with breath and then allow the breath to flow upward, that it literally separates the particles of the density in your consciousness. It allows Shakti flowing through the breath to create more space, not just in your body, not just in your Sushumna Nadi, but in your whole sense of self. So in the week to come, you'll be getting a homework assignment tomorrow, and you'll also be getting an audio meditation of this particular practice. And I want to ask you to see if you can internalize this understanding, which we also work with in the first course. And the reason that we work with it is because, to me, it is really the core of tantric Shaiva and Shakta practice, is to begin to identify your experience as a manifestation of Shakti. There's a dharana in the Vijnana Bhairava that says, wherever the mind goes is Shiva. Wherever the mind goes is divine consciousness. Therefore, where can the mind go to avoid divinity? I find that it's, for me at least, it's easier to practice this if I consider wherever the mind goes is Shakti, it's divine conscious energy. And one reason for that is because Shakti is not only subtle, Shakti is very tactile. So the more you can begin to identify your experience, your physical experience, your breath, your thoughts as manifestations of this divine creative energy, which has manifested as the physical universe, and manifest as your inner world, as the world of your thoughts and feelings, literally creating universes inside your body and mind in exactly the same way as on the cosmic level she creates the vastness of this universe. So as we close, anchor your breath inside the central channel. Ask the goddess who is manifesting through the breath to open your awareness to the divine presence that lives as you. And just consider for a moment your body with its millions of cells, with its extraordinary intelligent processes, the way in which all your organs work together, the way the blood continues to flow through your body, the way your heart works not only as a pump, but as a magnetic resonator that connects you to everything around you as well as connecting the different organs, the extraordinary way your brain and nervous system operates through every part of your body, to the energy in the air that is actually a form of Shakti that's breathing you. Consider how the room around you, the electrical impulses flowing through the lights or through the computer or through the phone, these miraculous human-made manifestations of intelligence are also made of Shakti. And experience the presence of the solidity of the earth around you, the touch of the air, the way sound flows. See if you can feel the presence of all the living beings around you, the ones who are in human bodies, the ones who live under the earth, who fly through the air, the animals, the amazing network of plant life on this earth. And just consider how this whole network of life is a network of Shakti, of divine conscious energy who is manifesting as all this life. And letting the breath flow in with swa and out with ha, flowing in down to the heart, out to the crown. Offer your thanks to her. Have a beautiful week, a beautiful practice. The listserv is open for all of us, and I look forward to reading your sharings, your questions. I'll answer them, and of course, we'll have our community conversation, which is such an important part of this class. Deb will be downloading the audio of this lecture tomorrow, and your homework will come at some point in the afternoon. So remember your morning meditation, 15 or even 20 minutes, meditating in the Sushumna Nadi from down into the heart, up to the place above the crown, allowing the breath to flow more and more deeply into the interior, remembering that whatever arises inside and outside is Shakti, is divine conscious energy. And we'll close with these mantras, which we'll play for a little while as we end the call. Namaste. So much love to all of you.
No.